Application Academy is closing if you are applying to medical school in 2024 to start in 2025. We are closing in mid-April, April 12th or 13th, somewhere around there, somewhere in mid-April. We're closing our door. It's time for you to get in to Application Academy to get the support you need to put together your story so that you aren't one of those students that end up rejected because you didn't know how to tell your story. Come join us at applicationacademy.com. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. I'll see you soon at applicationacademy.com. The pre-med path can be super confusing. If you'd love some help on your path or on your applications, use the promo code PMY for pre-med years, PMY, over at medicalschoolhq.net, and get some help from some of our experts, former directors of admissions, admissions officers, other experts. We have a small team ready to help you today. Again, that's promo code PMY to get a discount on our services at medicalschoolhq.net. The pre-med year, session number 202. Hello and welcome to the two-time Academy Award-nominated podcast, The Pre-Med Years, where we believe that collaboration, not competition, is key to your pre-med success. I'm your host, Dr. Ryan Gray, and in this podcast, we share with you stories, encouragement, and information that you need to know to help guide you on your path to becoming a physician. Welcome to The Pre-Med Years. If this is the first time joining us, you have a lot of catching up to do. 201 prior episodes of great information for you, and it's all still relevant, which is the best part. I just got back from Tampa, Florida, where AMHSA held their third, I think, annual Pre-Med Fest conference, which was a great conference. Over 300 students at USF. A great conference put on by AMHSA. Tons of great speakers. I talked to a lot of the students there who had nothing but great things to say about all of the presenters and speakers, including myself. I spoke about the medical school interview, which I had a blast. Had over 100 people, I think, in the room. So I think if you have the opportunity to go to an AMHSA conference near you, check it out. There are going to be some on the East Coast, including New York. I think there's one in Puerto Rico, and obviously the AMHSA convention in DC in February. So check those out. And if you register, you can use the code MSHQ17 to save a little money as well. All right. So this episode is an interesting one. I speak to an awesome gentleman who teaches physicians and residents, and now pre-med students, which is why I'm interested to have him here on the podcast, all about wilderness medicine and what that means. And we got into the conversation, and more that he was telling me about wilderness medicine, the more and more I was like, why is it called wilderness medicine? I think it's confusing because it's not just medicine out in the woods and in the wild. It's medicine that you need to practice and know how to practice when there are no resources or very limited resources. So don't let the name wilderness medicine turn you off. This is an awesome conversation, and you'll hear how you as a pre-med student can have the opportunity to join one of these courses that are being held to teach you about some wilderness medicine, and more importantly, get you interacting with physicians and learning some interesting things. It's a great experience. And hopefully, if you come to one here in the Colorado area, I'll have the opportunity to meet you, because it sounds like I will be hanging out and saying hello when they have these as well. So I look forward to possibly meeting you in the future at one of these wilderness medicine courses that are specifically geared towards you, the pre-med. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Todd, welcome to the pre-med years. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Ryan.
Now you are, I'm crowning you the wilderness medicine king. Is that an appropriate title?
Well, Prince might be.
Oh, Prince.
More accurate. It's sometimes Joker, but I definitely, that is my forte and strength and what I bring to the medicine world.
to the lay person, explain what wilderness medicine is.
Yeah, it's definitely a double-edged sword, because part of it is it's kind of a sexy topic. Oh, we're going to deal with snake bites and avalanches and frostbite and wilderness survival and search and rescue. But it kind of pigeonholes us. If I could go back in time, I would describe our field as austere medicine, because it's really about where it's like the classic old Peace Corps book, where there is no doctor. What we teach is where there is no hospital, where there is no clinic. How do you deal with illnesses and injuries and prevention when we don't have the benefits of civilization, of 21st century medicine, with all its assessment tools and invasive techniques and powerful pharmacological resources? What do we do? It's kind of old-fashioned medicine in a way, and it's not always practiced in the wilderness. It can be practiced in low-resource countries, in disasters. I mean, with Superstorm Sandy, for instance, by definition, wilderness medicine is either 1 hour or 2 hours from definitive care. So in Superstorm Sandy in downtown Manhattan, when the streets were flooded, the power was out, the cell towers were down, the hospitals were closed because their power was off. People were way more than 2 hours from definitive care, and there's austere wilderness medicine right in New York City. So it is a topic of medicine that is, I think, growing in popularity, in the sense that more and more people are heading out to the woods in the backcountry and to austere environments internationally. But in some ways, it's just old-fashioned bedside doctoring in the sense of supportive care.
It almost reminds me, as a flight surgeon in the Air Force, I've been to survival school. I've done all of that fun stuff. But it's almost like responding to an aircraft mishap. That's something that I would do as a flight surgeon, and going out and triaging casualties based on the available resources that we had. And it sounds like it's that same sort of mindset and skill set of saying, we might be in downtown Manhattan, or maybe we're in New Orleans after Katrina. We should and are usually used to having everything at our disposal, but we don't. So how do we go from here?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the, I think, interesting parts of wilderness medicine, is that one is always faced with limited resources. And so improvisation is the name of the game. And it is, how do you deal with those limited resources and make the most of whatever you do have at hand for the best patient comfort, as well as the care and comfort of yourself and the rest of your party, because you're often in a wild environment that isn't always the most comfortable.
Has there ever been any discussion of renaming it to wilderness and disaster medicine?
I think there are probably some programs that may be, there's probably a dozen, two dozen strong programs across the country in wilderness medicine. And disaster is definitely plays into, I think, all of those programs, because again, it's the same principles apply. We've actually started a new course called Disaster Response Advanced First Aid, designed for lay people and first responders, to take what we've learned in wilderness medicine and apply it directly to a disaster situation. And they're definitely intertwined. Some of it, I think, is semantics or labeling. But I wouldn't bat an eyelash if a program included disasters in their name.
Yeah, interesting. Now, what is your background to give you all of this knowledge?
Well, I guess I started by flunking out of college as an undergraduate and hitchhiking up to Alaska with my tail between my legs to start all over. It was, you know, it was, I grew up in the suburbs, and it wasn't a matter of whether I was going to college, but which college. And when I promptly flunked out, I tried to get as far away as I could, ended up in Alaska, and fell in love with the wilderness and the spirit up there, and ended up starting to assist. And I took a mountaineering class at the local community college, just started to assist in it, eventually started teaching those classes and started guiding and leading expeditions and, you know, climbs of the big peaks in Alaska, and as well as in Central and South America, and started my own guide service briefly. That's a tough way to make a living. And then started teaching at the University of Alaska, and been doing that since the late 70s. So many years, lots and lots of field time. And if you spend that much time in the outdoors, you're going to see a lot of injuries, accidents, illnesses, most of which are very minor, but some of which are beyond that. And so it just gave me a lot of experience. And as I started doing more and more outdoor education and guiding, I got more and more interested in the wilderness medicine aspect, because I had to take the wilderness first responder classes. I started helping to teach them, and then connected with a colleague when I was at Cornell University, from the Weill Cornell Medical School, that wanted to start a wilderness medicine program at Cornell. So I helped found that. And basically, I'm a 60-year-old medical student. You know, I have been hanging out with docs now for about a dozen years, and continue to learn a great deal from them. And then I bring in a pretty deep and rich wilderness background. So it's a really great synergy when I partner with a physician and we teach, whether it's pre-med students or medical students or residents or CMEs for physicians and other health professionals.
What has been the response? So you started at Cornell, and you start a program there to teach wilderness medicine. And that was part of a response to Katrina, correct?
Yeah, I received a phone call out of the blue about 10 years ago from a faculty member at Weill Cornell Medical College who was looking for a collaborator on a grant he was writing. He and a number of the emergency medicine docs and EMS providers went down to Katrina to help out, and they basically got their biscuits spanked. When they were down there, they really didn't know how to set up tarps or put up their tents or treat water or use their stoves. So they were not nearly as helpful to the survivors of Katrina and the locals as they wanted to be. And when they got back, they wisely realized they needed to get some more training. And so they, Jay Lemery, my colleague, connected with me, and we wrote a grant. We didn't get it funded, but it was the start of a beautiful friendship. We ended up teaching some classes together. We started a wilderness medicine elective for med students, and really enjoyed teaching that class. We got great feedback. Consistently, these third and fourth year medical students would tell us that it was the best class they had in their 4 years of medical school. And that really, I think, charged both of us. And during this time, I was the executive director for Cornell Outdoor Education in Ithaca, about 5 hours away from New York City in the medical school, and saw a similar need on the Cornell campus with pre-med students. We had a number of just really bright, really energetic pre-med students who were part of our outdoor leaders for the Cornell Outdoor Education Program. And they expressed a lot of frustration at the, I think one of them called it the atomization of the curriculum, where they felt that medicine felt like it was going to be generations away for them. They were stuck in classes and labs and lectures, and really were hungry to get their hands dirty with medicine, with actually talking with physicians and getting involved. And they just didn't have that opportunity. So we tried to set up a pre-med program at Cornell and unfortunately couldn't get it through the curriculum approval process, but we were able to thankfully rectify that at the University of Colorado. But the hunger of the pre-meds for, you know, actually getting involved with physicians was palpable.
Yeah, it's a common email that I get from a pre-med student that will say, how do I get shadowing? How do I get clinical experience? I find it so hard. And you're sitting here with this program now at University of Colorado that says, hey, come join me for a week.
Yeah, exactly. So
talk about that. Talk about the program and why you set it up at the University of Colorado and what the response has been.
Sure. So my colleague Jay, we both were finding wilderness medicine to be more and more important parts of our career trajectory, but our bosses didn't see that as an important part of our work. And so we were frustrated. Jay got recruited to go out to Colorado about 5 years ago and spent the next couple years suggesting that I come out and join him. And I finally got frustrated enough that that's what I did. And we found a very open and ready environment there for innovation and new kinds of classes. And so we put together a 2-week program. The first week focused on emergency medicine on the medical campus in the hospital, very much hands-on, sort of a mini med school type of approach, and with lots of labs and lots of lectures. And then a week focused more on wilderness medicine and application up at a camp in the Rocky Mountains. So, you know, if you're going to be in Colorado, as nice as Denver is, you got to get up into the mountains and experience the real Colorado. So we wanted to give students that opportunity. So they get a really excellent introduction to the profession of medicine. We have about 20 different attending physicians and residents come in as guest lecturers. They share their stories about how they, what they majored in, what they did in between undergraduate and medical school, if there was that gap, why they went into their specialty, what they love about medicine, what they hate about medicine. And so we always start our lectures with that kind of personal story I think, you know, every student somewhere during the 2 weeks connects with at least one physician or medical profession, healthcare professional. And, there's a connection there is, for lack of a better word. So that's a real powerful part of the program. And then it's intense. We go from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. We try to give them a half day off to enjoy Denver a little bit. And then we're up in the mountains and they, in the winter, the January session, they get to create snow shelter, whether it's an igloo or a Quincy, and optionally sleep out for the night in that. In the summer, we do a 3-day mini backpack trip to really get away from the plugs and the screens and truly immerse ourselves in the great outdoors so that they can appreciate Colorado and the natural world as well as make the wilderness medicine part that much more relevant.
Are you saying there's no iPhones or iPads or iPods?
I am for 3 days. Yes, there's no cell phone coverage. I personally love it. Some students find it frustrating. I don't know which one they find more frustrating, the lack of a shower for 3 days or the lack of their iPhones. But they all, at the end, laugh about it and I think are proud that they were able to because a lot of these students have never camped before, much less backpacked or much less winter camped in an igloo.
Yeah.
They're stretching themselves. And I think that's part of the reason that they rate the classes so high is that they're getting to do all these new experiences, and they're getting to do them with students from all over the country. So they're this has been a bit of a it was a big surprise to me, a pleasant surprise, how much the students get out of talking with a student from all the way across the country who has similar challenges, similar pressures, similar worries, similar dreams and aspirations. And they compare notes and they learn from each other, and they kind of, I think they have a better idea that they're not on this journey alone, that there's a lot of people out there, and they see each other, that, you know, that it's not competitive. There's no curve. There's no grading. So they're free to be themselves and to learn and to share with 20 or 30 other peers. And that's a big strength, I think.
Yeah. I think there's something where you remove the quote unquote normal society, especially from a pre-med student that's used to the cutthroat world of pre-med, and you put them out in the wilderness where there's not all of these expectations or societal norms, especially for people that haven't been out in the wilderness before, and people actually just open up and become people.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, medicine's a team sport, and so is the wilderness. I mean, you can't, you know, the Bear Grylls aside, the reality is, it is something where you have to work as a team. You have to work together. Somebody's going to get the fire started. Somebody is going to get the food ready. Somebody's going to pitch the tarp. You know, if with everybody working together, it's a very comfortable and fun experience, and it doesn't take long for folks to realize that and get into that groove. And it's great. In some ways, I wish we did the camp first, because that's the great bonding experience. But because of altitude issues, the camp's up at 9,000 feet. We do our first week in town, and they get a lot of the lectures and the PowerPoints out of the way there before we head up and apply learning up at the camp.
So being in the Air Force as a flight surgeon, I had to go to survival school, SEER, and they taught us how to kill a rabbit and a chicken and defeather the chicken and skin and gut the rabbit. Do you teach that sort of stuff too?
No, it's the opposite of boot camp. It's the opposite of survival camp. It's about being having fun and learning to be comfortable. We feed people well, and they still learn a lot. I mean, they learn to do one match fires. They learn to pitch tarps and tents. They learn about bear safety. They learn about map navigation and build improvised litters and do search and rescue scenarios. So there is a lot of probably similar learning. But the tone is very much focused on fun and thriving rather than surviving.
Is there a particular student that comes to these events or classes? Are they students that are they mostly male students that know they want to be emergency room physicians, or is there a good mix of everything?
There's a good mix. I mean, my favorite students are the ones that come from the city or the suburbs and have never camped before. You know, this is like their eyes are, you know, they're looking behind them, wondering when the bear or the cougar is going to get them any second. And by the end, they're, you know, they're regular Annie Oakleys or Daniel Boones. Those are my favorite students. But no, it's a really good cross section. We probably have slightly more female than male students. There's definitely more of an interest in emergency medicine, but we've had students that are in, you know, most of them just want to get into medical school, and they're smart enough to realize that, you know, they can figure out their specialties down the road. But there is, because of the nature of the class, a big interest in emergency medicine. But we've had folks who want to be nurses, folks that want to be PAs, folks that are interested in psychiatry and orthopedics, sports medicine, you name it.
Yeah. And I would assume, and this is just kind of funny, with the looming zombie apocalypse. I think these are great skills to have.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, disasters are, whether it's natural disasters and climate change or whether it's terrorism, the disasters are, you can't open the front page without seeing something going on. And so this preparation for a non-911 world where one has to be much more self-aware, have situational awareness, be able to be self-sufficient, I think is a life skill, whether somebody ends up using it in medicine or ends up in a whole different career track. These are great and very valuable skills to have.
Do you know of anybody that's come to your class to prepare for going to for like a international medical mission trip?
Not so much the pre-med classes, though. There's definitely, we do have that. We have a class called Global Health Advanced First Aid. It's a 3-day class that is focused specifically on that topic. And we get some really, we get Peace Corps volunteers who've come back and want to, head back to low-resourced countries to help out or who want to advance in the Peace Corps. We've get folks who are interested in going, very, not casually, but maybe it's a once-in-a-lifetime mission trip with their church or synagogue. There's folks who are global health majors who are want to go into this field professionally, and they all, I think, benefit greatly from this class, which looks at international travel to austere environments, and again, takes that core wilderness medicine curriculum and then puts an international and low-resourced perspective on that content.
That's awesome. So for the pre-med student listening to this, how can they get involved, whether it's through the University of Colorado's program, or how can they just start learning about this in general?
Sure. Well, they can go to our website, which is coloradowm.org, or they can just Google Colorado Wilderness Medicine and we'll pop up there, if not at the top, pretty close to the top. And learn about our programs. We offer our classes in the summer, and then in December, we'll be in Costa Rica. In January, we'll be back in Colorado. In March, we'll be in the Channel Islands National Park out in California, as well as a spring break program in Colorado. And then in the summer, we're in Colorado and Costa Rica. So lots of programs there for pre-med students. We welcome students from all over the country, international students, post-bac students. We get a number of students who've been out of school for a couple of years and are looking to come back and using this class as a springboard for that. For students who can't afford the time or the money or the travel, at their own institutions, I would highly recommend getting involved with their outdoor program on their campus. They will have offer wilderness first aid or wilderness first responder classes. These are great hands-on classes, kind of like a mini EMT program, where students can learn a lot about basic medical care and again, learn these practical skills, whether it's something they're going to use in medicine long term or whether it's just something that they might use at a backyard picnic. One of the fun things that fun parts about my job is hearing from students who have used their skills. I always ask them we have a little graduation ceremony, say, please, we hope you never have to use these skills, but if you do, let us know, because we want to, we want to hear how it went and was it helpful. And I probably get every other month or so get an email or a phone call from one of our past students who tells us about how they used a skill when a student got knocked out in a volleyball game, or a skier was lost, or a kid broke his arm falling out of a tree. These are skills that are, I don't think anyone ever wants to be the, I think pre-med students don't want to be the bystanders. They want to be able to help. And the these kinds of classes, whether students do them with us or with many of the other great programs around the country, will give them the confidence and the skills to be able to respond and help out and make life better for somebody who's in a miserable situation.
Yeah. I remember in medical school, this was before survival school, I was driving with my girlfriend at the time, my wife now. We're driving down the highway, and right in front of us was a pretty bad car accident. And we were the Eager Beaver medical students, and we got out, and we're like, hey, can we help? And I guess I was the only one there that knew how to, like, make a sling. There's one lady had an arm injury, and so I put her arm in a sling. And it's you never know when these skills are going to come in handy. You don't have to wait for a super storm Sandy or a Katrina to come through.
Yeah, absolutely. Or medical school. Yeah. I mean, those are, you know, those are great examples, and they, you know, they're going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I have to admit, a little shocked the first time I taught a wilderness medicine elective to third and fourth year med students. And this was 10 years ago. And I know medical school curricula have changed and are getting much more hands-on early on, but these medical students were kind of shell-shocked when we first threw them into scenarios and asked them to actually touch patients and move patients and treat patients. They were our wilderness first responder students at Cornell were much more adept by the end of the class than these third and fourth year medical students. So getting some early hands-on patient assessment, scene assessment, basic first aid, I think is something that is invaluable.
As you've gone through teaching pre-meds wilderness medicine and they've left the program and you've heard back from them, what do you think is the biggest takeaway for a pre-med student as they leave your program?
Well, I think it gives them a backstage pass to medicine, and I think it's the intimate conversations they can have around dinner time, at lunch, over a cup of coffee with all of the physicians and other health professionals that come in and out of the program, that share their stories of how they got to where they are. And I think that our students find that inspiring. I think they sometimes find it reassuring that, I can take a couple years off and it's okay. I don't have to go straight to medical school. I can major in government or English and still get into medical school. I can flunk a class and still get into medical school. So I think 5 years later from a 2-week class, I don't know, you know, what exact skills or knowledge a student retains, but I think that that heartfelt conversation is definitely something that they do take away and keep, and it inspires them. I think, you know, again, we try to open up the eyes of our participants that for some of them, med school isn't necessarily in their future or the right future for them. Come talk to an emergency department nurse, come talk to a respiratory therapist, have a cup of coffee or a beer after class with a PA. And I know there's been several students that have really thanked us for helping them get past that tunnel vision and feel really good about their career tracks. I think that's been really helpful for some of our students.
All right. Again, that was Todd from the University of Colorado School of Medicine. And if you are interested in learning anything more about the wilderness and environmental medicine courses going on there, go check out ColoradoWM.org. Again, that's ColoradoWM.org. And as always, you can find links to everything that we talked about in our show notes. You can find those every time at medicalschoolhq.net/ and then the episode number. So this one is session 202. So medicalschoolhq.net/202. Thanks, Todd, for joining me on the podcast and sharing the awesome stuff that you're doing at the University of Colorado. I do want to take a second and thank the one student that has left a amazing review for us in iTunes. We have Kevin R. Gann, who says, the pre-med advisors of my dreams, Drs. Ryerson. I think that was our nickname in medical school. No, it was Rallison. They combined our name, almost like a Jennifer and, what do you call Jennifer and Ben Affleck? I forget. Anyway, Drs. Ryan and Allison Gray have given me so much hope with regards to the medical school application process. I found their podcast 2 weeks ago upon switching my path from the biotech industry to medicine, and I could not be more grateful for their efforts. I wish everybody would find us as soon as this student did, and switching into the pre-med world and go, hey, I found a podcast already. So, tons of great information and great review here. Good luck on your journey, Kevin, as you complete it. So, anyway, if you would like to leave a rating interview, you can do so at medicalschoolhq.net/iTunes. All right, I hope you got a ton of great information out of this podcast and you learned a little bit more about wilderness medicine. And if you are interested, again, go to coloradowm.org and check out everything that Todd and his team are doing out at the University of Colorado.